So my talk title is Projective Individual and Applications. So this is based on my joint works with Matai. The first paper is the Projective General and the Elliptic Pseudo Differential General. The second paper is the T-duality, Jacobi forms, and Witten-Jerome modules. So in these two works, we want to use a projective vector bundle or Jerome module to twist the Witten genus. The first paper is dealing with torsion case, torsion Jerome case. The second paper is doing a long torsion Jerome case and then application to T-duality. So first I will briefly review the elliptic genera. I think all the people are experts here, so I will go faster in this part. So the topological side of elliptic genera is classical. So by Hertzsprung theory, a genus is a ring homomorphism from the oriented bodism ring to a ring R with which R is the integral domain over R over Q. So given such a ring homomorphism or genus, we can associate a generating function to it. This is GZ. So you evaluate CPN and then you construct a power series. So this is a generating function associated to the genus. So this is called the logarithm of the genus. And suppose you take the inverse of G, which we denote by F, then following our Schelling, phi, the genus phi is called a bit genus if F satisfies this ODE. So F prime squared equal to 1 minus 2 dot F plus epsilon F to the fourth power. This is an equation for an elliptic curve. So epsilon and delta are two parameters. So in other words, F and F prime parameterize this elliptic curve. So the equation of elliptic curve. Suppose we choose a special delta and epsilon. Actually, this equation is solvable. Before I'm doing that, suppose F satisfy this ODE, then F satisfies this additional formula. F plus UV is such a formula. So you see when epsilon equal to zero, then you just get the formula for the trigonometric functions. And then you can define the formal group law. So playing with this, you find this is a formal group law. So this is the formal group law of for elliptic genus. So suppose you so as I mentioned, if you choose special delta and the special epsilon, so this equation actually can be solved. So here let's introduce the four classical Jacobi theta functions. So these four theta functions, they are all so here we defined in infinite product form. So actually the theta function has many definitions. These four theta functions, they are all holomorphic functions on C cross H, where C is the complex plane, H is the upper half plane. And now if you choose a special delta and a special epsilon, say if you choose delta in this way to be this Q series and delta to be epsilon one to be these two series, you can actually solve the F. And if you choose this your delta and this is your epsilon, you can get another F. So here is the way. So suppose you choose delta one, epsilon one, you plug in the equation of elliptic curve, delta and epsilon, you can solve F and F prime. So the actually F you can be solved like this. And if you plug in delta two and epsilon two, if you solve the equation, you will find F is this. This is the equation for the elliptic curve. Now suppose M is the 4i dimensional closed smooth oriented manifold. Suppose these are the formal chain roots of TM tensor C. So then you can use the chain root algorithm to write down epigenus. So yeah, so this is the epigenus. The first epigenus is you're using F1 to write it. And the second epigenus, you use F2 to write it. So this is a product F1 XI, I from 1 to, sorry, should from 2i. Okay, so now this is also the topological definition of epigenus. You just choose the special F1 and F2. Okay. Okay, and if you choose your F to be this, so it just involves the theta function, but not the other theta 1 and the theta 2. So then you use this special F. So then you get the Witten genus. Okay, so this is the topological side of the definition of epigenus and the Witten genus. Okay, and then Zagier proved that the first epigenus is a modular form of weight 2i over gamma 0,2. So this gamma 0,2 is the gamma 0,2 and gamma upper 0,2, they are just two index 2 subgroup of SL2Z. And when the first rational Pondragian class of the manifold equal to 0, so then the Witten genus is a modular form of weight 2i over SL2Z. And moreover, so this the two epigenus, this one is, and this one, they are related in this way. Okay, so yeah, okay. So this is the topological side. So a spin manifold M is called string if one half of P1 equal to 0. So this means the free loop space LM is spin. So but how to make sense out of this? So many people have contributed in important work to on this, like physicists Klingberg and McLaughlin and Stoll-Stationer, and Waldorf, Conrad Waldorf, and Kotek Melrose. So they just want to make sense of what's the meaning of loop space is spin. And the homotopy lifting of Witten genus leads to the beautiful theory of topological modular form developed by Hawkins-Miller. So we just get this. Okay, so this is the topological side. Okay, now let's move to the geometrical side. Okay, so suppose M is a 4K dimensional oriented Riemannian manifold. So now suppose lambda TM is a Lewis-Civita connection on the tangent bundle, and RTM is the curvature operator. So then you can actually write down the so-called elliptic density. So that means you actually cook up a differential form. And if you integrate over M, you get the epigenus. So this differential form is constructing this way. So you consider the theta function, and then you plug in the curvature operator into the theta function. Then you take the determinant. Then you hear the density is actually a differential Q series of differential form over M. Then if you integrate out, you get a Q series with the rational coefficient, you get the epigenus. So similarly, so this is the Witten density of the Witten genus. Okay, so that means you can have a local version of epigenus, like just like in index theory, you have a head genus, but even more geometrically, you have the so-called index density. Okay. So by the Chen Wei theory of realizing characteristic classes while curvatures, we see that this topological definition coincided with the geometric definition. The advantage of the geometric definition by using the curvature and the density is local. So namely, we get Lewis density and Witten density, and it's more flexible. So because, for example, now we can perform Chern-Simons transgression on them. So then you get elliptic Chern-Simons. Okay, so this is the advantage of the geometric side. So okay, so now we can actually twist the Witten genus by a vector bundle. So now suppose V is a Euclidean vector bundle over M, and lambda V is a Euclidean connection, and this is the curvature of the connection. Then in the epigenus part, so in this part, So these two parts, so you see it's just plug-in the curvature of the tangent bundle. Now suppose I replace this part, so by the curvature of the vector bundle. So you see, actually this part is the Witten density part. This is a part from the vector bundle. So this is the Witten density part. This is from the vector bundle. So then, so these two guys, we call it V-twisted elliptic general. So obviously when V is just the tangent bundle, so we just return to the elliptic general of M. Okay, now we move to the analytic side. So suppose E and F are two Hermitian vector bundles. So we just carrying Hermitian connections and carrying the corresponding curvatures, and A hat and L hat is we are familiar with the Hertzsprung A hat class and L hat class. It's still defined by using the curvature. Okay. So and this one is the chain capture part of this super bundle. Okay, and then and lambda t and st, they are just two operations. They are called exterior powers and symmetrical powers. So of E. And suppose and then we construct the theta m, theta 1m and theta 2tm. So here TCM is TM minus the C of rank of TM. So this is a virtual bundle. You just throw in this virtual bundle into this symmetrical power, then you get a theta TM. So this guy is a Q series with coefficient in the K theory of M. So like similarly, the theta one and theta two. So you can see here, I'm using big theta one and big theta two. These two guys, they are just like a bundle version of the Jacobi theta functions, theta one and theta two and theta, okay. Okay, and then suppose M is a spin manifold and denote D is a Dirac operator and BM is a signature operator. So we find that, so the Witten genus is actually the index of Dirac operator twisted by this theta m, so equal to a hat m times coupled with the chain capture of theta tm, and phi l the elliptic genus is equal to the index of the signature operator twisted by this bundle and this the Witten bundles is equal to the integration of this class. So this is the L head form, the chain capture of theta TM, theta one TM, and this is the second elliptic genus. Okay, so the analytic definition of coincide with the geometric definition by the Atiyah Singer index theorem. Moreover, the elliptic genus and the Witten genus are refined to be modular forms with integral Fourier development. Because now the elliptic genus and the Witten genus now have analytic interpretation as index of twisted Dirac operator. So now it becomes, it's become modular form with integral Fourier development on spin manifolds. So so we call the Dirac operator twisted by the bundle big theta and the signature operator twisted by this and call these twisted operators, the Witten operators. So these guys can be formally viewed as the signature Dirac operators on free loop space. Okay, so similarly, so suppose V is a spin vector bundle over M, we can, in the analytic side, we can define V twisted elliptic general. So like this is D theta TM, this is can be viewed as a Dirac operator over loop space. And this one can be formally viewed as a vector bundle over loop space. Okay, so cook up from V. So yeah, so similarly here, we can, So when V equal to TM, so these two guys, they are just the Euro elliptic general. Okay. Okay, so now here is our starting point. The starting point is, So here we use a vector bundle V, cook up some Witten element to twist the Witten operator. So then the thing is, suppose I'm given a projective vector bundle or gerbil module. So what I should put it here? So, okay, so this is our motivation. Okay, so actually our motivation comes from the Matai-Melrose single index theory in the long spin or long spin C setting. Okay, so this is their classical paper. So it's called fractional analytic index. So let us briefly review this a little bit. So Atiyah Singer defines the Dirac operator on only compact spin manifold, so of even dimension, and compute their analytic index. Okay, so analytic index, so equal to the dimension of the kernel of D minus dimensional kernel of D plus minus kernel of D minus. So equal to, so this you use A hat genus. A hat genus is equal to the index. Then the natural question is, so since the A hat genus actually continue to make sense for long spin manifold, but on long spin manifold, the A hat genus is just a rational number. So then the question is, is this rational number still correspond to an analytic index in the situation? Since but the problem is the Euler Dirac operator does not exist. Okay, so then this motivates Matai-Melrose single to define a projective Dirac operator. Okay, so MMS generalizes the notion of pseudo to projective pseudo. In particular, on an oriented even dimensional Riemannian manifold, so MMS defines the notion of projective spin Dirac operator. So, and then they define their fractional analytic index and show that this analytic index is just equal to the A hat genus. So you see, we only assume the manifold is oriented, no need to assume its spin. Okay, so a degree three analog of a complex line bundle I so-called bundle gerbs due to Marie. A special case consists of a principle PUN bundle. So yeah, so let's consider such a PUN principal bundle and a central extension of the structural group. Okay, so given such a Y, the PUN principal bundle, you can associate the Dixmier-Doherty invariant of Y, so which actually give you a degree three cohomology class. So we element in H3, but it's torsion element. Okay, so this DD class is obstruction to lifting the principal PUN bundle Y to a principal UN bundle. Okay, so given such a principal PUN bundle Y, so you can construct the associated algebra bundle. So you see this Y, with Y you associate, this is the matrix algebra. So this Y, you associate the matrix algebra to it. Then you get the Azumaya bundle. Okay, and so let's see, what's the meaning of a projective vector bundle? So a projective vector bundle over Z is not an honest bundle over Z, but rather it's a vector bundle over Y, over this total space of the PUN principal bundle, and satisfy these properties. So LG tensor with epsilon y isomorphic to epsilon gy. So this G is the element on the bundle, and Y is element of bundle, G is element in PUN. This L is a canonical line bundle over Y. It's called a primitive line bundle. So over Y. So the identification, this identification one gives a projective action of PUN on the projective bundle E. So for projective vector bundle, so there is a twisted truncator CHBE. This B denotes for the B field of the bundle gerb Y. Okay, so this twist distribution character is defined by Borknecht, Carey, Mattai, Murray, and Stevenson. Okay, so let E be over Z be a real oriented Riemannian vector bundle. Okay, this is a frame bundle. And N denotes a co-normal bundle of fiber. Then it's easy to see that this N is a spin bundle. So then N always have a bundle of spinners. Okay, and we can show that. So actually, the anamorphism of spinners, which is actually a bundle over Z, is actually a basic, is a basic bundle, is actually phi star of the Clifford algebra bundle from the base. Okay, so actually, although the manifold is long spin, although there's no spinner bundle, but there's always a projective spinners on Z, such that if you take a homomorphism bundle of the projective bundle, then it become an honest algebra bundle over Z. So that's the Clifford bundle over Z. Okay, so there are natural spin conditions on the Clifford algebra bundle and S induced from the Lewis-Civita connection. So that means you can, so on this projective spinners, you can also have all the corresponding geometrical data like connections, curvature stuff. And when we find that this homomorphism bundle, so actually can be extended to a diagonal Z in Z cross Z. Okay. So then this, you can use this extension near the diagonal to define the projective spin Dirac operator. So it's defined in this way. So here, this chi is a delta function. Okay. So so as in the usual sense, the projective spin Dirac operator D is elliptic and Z2 graded. So acting on the projective spinners. Okay, then here is the theorem of Mattai Merrill Singer. The projective spin Dirac operator on an even dimensional manifold Z has a fractional analytic index. So actually they define the index by using the kernels to define analytic index. And this analytic index is equal to the A-hat genus because now the manifold is non-spin. So this is only a rational number. Okay, so here is an example. Suppose Z is equal to CP2N. So this guy is not a spin manifold. It's actually a spin C manifold. So the A hat genus is not an integer. But if you find that if C is CP2, then the A hat genus is -1/8, which is equal to the analytic index. And for CP4, the A hat genus is 3/128. Which is equal to the analytic index of projective Dirac operator. Okay, so in this projective index theorem, we can also twist it by a projective vector bundle. Suppose E is a projective vector bundle over Z, then you can couple the projective Dirac operator with this projective bundle E, and you can still define analytic index. And the analytic index is equal to the A-hat class coupled to the twisted chain character of the projective bundle and the integrate over Z, you get a rational number. Okay, now the thing is, suppose E is a projective vector bundle over Z. So remember, for vector bundle V, so we can construct the Witten bundles. So now for projective vector bundle, so we can still construct the Witten projective vector bundle in this way. Okay, so because here my E is complex, so here this is split to E and E conjugate. Okay, so one can formally view this guy as a projective vector bundle over free loop space LZ. Okay, but what's this? So this is actually a bundle over Y. It's not a bundle over Z, okay? And this guy also has a property, also has a problem that, because remember in the construction of the Witten bundle, so you use the exterior power, that means basically you do the tensor product of the projective bundle. But because given two tensor products, given a tensor product of the projective bundle, so the twists has a higher level. The original twist anymore. You have to count the higher twists. So this is the Witten projective bundle. Okay, so then we can define projectivity genus in an analytic way in this. So this is a projective Dirac operator. This is a Witten bundle, and this is a Witten projective bundle. Then the whole thing is that you take the analytic index of this twisted projective operator. But what's this? So this guy is actually a Q series with rational coefficients. Okay, so to get a geometrical formula for this projective, it'll be general via the Mataille-Melrose Singer index theorem. We need to introduce the graded twist chain character of this Witten projective bundle. So as I mentioned, the Witten projective bundle is not the original twists anymore. Because it involves tensor product, it also involves higher twists. So then we have to design a graded twist chain character to take count into the higher twists. So then we actually introduce the graded twist chain character, which can be viewed as a loop version of a twisted BCMM's chain character. Okay, so then by the Mataille-Melrose Singer projective index theorem, we find that this projective, it is general, the project twisted by E, already defined as the analytic index of this projective twisted operator, is equal to this after we introduce the graded twisted chain character. And then we can have a geometrical formula for it. The geometrical formula is this. Okay, so this is the density of it. So this part corresponds to the Witten density. But for the projective part, so here is density. So this one is the curvature of the projective bundle. Now we have to insert the B field into it. And then we plug in this whole thing into the theta 2 function. So then we couple with the Witten density, and then we get the projective it'll be general. So we can similar to the it'll be general case, we bundle twisted it'll be general case, we can show that if the first Pontryagin class of Z equal to the first Jerby Pontryagin class of the projective bundle E, then this guy is a modular form. Okay, so as I mentioned, there are two it'll be general, but here I just discuss one for example. Okay, so then you might ask me, so what's the use of this? I mean, why we consider such a construction? Okay, so now we discuss two applications of it. So the first application of the projective elliptic genera is to constructing a projective elliptic pseudo differential genera for only projective elliptic pseudo differential operator. So remember that the Witten genus, so actually given the Dirac operator, we associate the Witten genus to it. Now the natural question is, suppose I'm given a general elliptic pseudo differential operator, so can we associate a genera to it? So actually our construction of the elliptic pseudo differential genera suggests the existence of a perturbative S1 equivalent elliptic pseudo differential operator over loop space. You remember to obtain the elliptic genus, we can formally consider Dirac operators over loop space. But suppose we consider elliptic pseudo differential operator over loop space, I mean this formally, and if we apply the ATIA single localization formula, we should get elliptic pseudo differential general. Okay, so here is the thing. Suppose Z is a 4R dimensional compact oriented manifold, no need spin. And suppose big W3 is a third integral Steve-Whitty class, which obstructs the existence of spin-C structure. Now we fix a projective spin-C structure on Z and let this be the complex projective spin-C bundle of Tz with twists W3Z. These are the projective spinners. And then let a dz complement be the stable complement of the tangent bundle tz. And suppose this is the projective spinner of the complement. Okay, and when we know that the complement has twists minus W3. So then we still consider the full spinners. And then on the projective spinners of Tz and the projective spinners over Tz complement, we also have the geometric data like the projective connections. Okay, now suppose P is only projective pseudo differential element operator where F0 and F1 be projective Hermitian bundles over Z with twists H. And then we have the connections, projective connections. And then if you can, then there exists M and a projective complex bundle E with twists H minus W3Z, such that, this should be Z, so Tz. So Tz plus Tz complement, you just get a trivial bundle of rank M over M. And then the spinners, the projective spinners, tensor with the projective spinners over Tz complement equal to 2 to M's copy of E. Then we define the first rational contracting class of P. So the pseudo operator is equal to the Jerby first contracting class of E. So which is in H4, the in rational cohomology. Okay. So the second thing we have to introduce the Schur functor. They are indexed by the Schur functor S lambda. They are indexed by the Young diagram lambda, and they are functors from the category of vector space to itself. For example, like the exterior product and the symmetrical product, they are just special Schur functors. So we can very roughly understand a Schur functor to be the mixed of some kind of mixed of exterior product and the symmetrical product. So for only Young diagram, you can have a Schur functor. So we have that if you take U tensor V, if you take the nth exterior product, you have a formula, you can split it, you can decompose it by using the Schur functors. Okay, and then you see because we have to consider, so in our construction we have to, this is a projective spinners tensor with the projective spinners of the complement, and then takes the nth power, so then we have to use this formula about Schur functors. Okay, and in the following, when we write phi lambda f, this we, where phi is a certain operation of a vector bundle constructed from exterior power, it always means the connections constructed in this way. So like if you do this, then it's equal to this and this. So remember these two guys, you can split by using the Schur functors. And here you can split. Okay, so these two elements, roughly speaking, are the two elements we use to associate to a pseudo differential operator. Okay, and then if you construct H in this way, so by using the Schur operators, you get some Q series differential form, and then you plug in here. Okay, so you see you choose only pseudo differential operator. you use a pseudo differential operators, you use like Schur operator or something to cook up a form here, then you couple with the Witten density, so then we define it to be the elliptic pseudo differential operator. So then we can prove that by using the projective general, we can show that if P1 of TC equal to the Jurby P1 of the pseudo operator, then this elliptic general is a twisted pseudo differential elliptic general is a rational modular form. Okay, so here still I'm not that precise. So because the elliptic general we have several ones. So just want to mention that. So given a pseudo differential operator, so we can just cook up something and projective vector bundle, and then using the projective vector bundle, you can define a elliptic general, projective elliptic general for it. Okay, and moreover, when your pseudo differential operator P is just the Dirac operator, so this goes back to the original Witten genus. Okay, so this is the first application of the projective elliptic general. The second application of projective elliptic general is used in T-duality. Okay, so let me briefly review the T-duality setting. So this is the model of Borg-necked Eversley Matai. Okay, so T-duality is just such a situation. So suppose Z and Z hat, they are two circle bundles over X. And on Z, you have a connection A, and you have a flux H, which is just a closed three form with integral period. On Z hat, you have a connection A hat, and you have a flux H hat. And this, and the left-hand side and the right-hand side, they are called T-dual pair if they satisfy this constraint. So that is, if you integrate along the fiber, you get a two form of X is equal to the curvature of the A hat. And if you integrate the H hat along the fiber, you get a two form of X is equal to the curvature of A. Okay, so this condition actually relates the two T-dual pair. Okay, it's such a situation. Okay, then there's a famous Horry formula. Suppose you choose only G, which is a T-invariant even form over Z, and then you multiply this like propagator, you multiply to it, and then your integration along the fiber, then you get a form over, Z hat. Okay, so here is the thing. So that means if you take an even form over Z, you apply the Horry formula, you get the odd form over Z hat. And similarly, if you apply the Horry formula to a form over Z hat, then you get a form over Z with a different parity. Okay, the three authors prove that this guy actually gave a isomorphism, and you can is also inducing an isomorphism over the twisted cohomology of groups. Okay, so here, so this twisted cohomology, you use a differential T plus H. Here use the differential T plus H hat. Okay, so here we introduce another model for JERB. So a JERB, remember previously we consider like projective principal bundle, but that's a JERB that's a model of a JERB with torsion DD class. So here is maybe it's a more convenient model for a general JERB. So a JERB over M is a connection of line bundles L alpha beta. So it means you cover the manifold by U alpha U beta contractibles, good covers. And on each intersection, you have a line bundle L alpha beta. And if you take the product like this, cyclic product, then you have a, there's a trivialization. This is part of data. Okay, and then, so this guy gave us a U1 valued check two call cycle, and then consequently we get the DD class, which is in H3M of MZ. You just go from H2M S1, you get H3MZ. So up to equivalence, so gerbs on Z, I classified by H3 of MZ. So a trivial gerb is just is a form, this L alpha beta means you can, on each U alpha and U beta, you get L alpha and L beta, such that L alpha beta is equal to this. This is a trivial gerb. Okay, so yeah, so here is like on each intersection, you have a line bundle and satisfying the gluing data. Okay, so and then we can introduce a connection on the gerb. So that is on each line bundle L alpha beta, you have a connection. Okay, and okay, and then so then you get a connection, and the curvature of the connection is equal to, you can show that is equal to B beta minus B alpha. So you can find out two forms on U alpha, U beta, such that this is true, okay? And this B alpha, B beta is just actually the B field we mentioned. So remember the B field in the projective case is there are two forms on the total space of projective bundle. So here you see the B fields, they are not two forms over the manifold, but they are only defined on each U alpha or U beta, okay? So yeah, and then, but if you take a DB U alpha and a DB beta, you find the DB alpha and the DB beta, they coincide on the intersection, then they glue together to be a three form H. So this is called the curvature of the gerb. So sometimes this H is also called a flux. And for principal PUN bundle, so it's a model for torsion gerb. Okay, so yeah, so remember when we define projective general, we use projective vector bundle over the projective the PUN bundle. So actually they are PUN bundles, they are torsion gerbs. So correspond to H equal to zero. Okay, so given a gerb, we can define so-called gerb modules. So this developed by Bocknecht, Carey, Matai, Murray, and Stevenson. Okay, so roughly speaking, a gerb module is on each U alpha, you have a infinite dimensional Hilbert space. It could be infinite dimensional. And whose structural group is reduced to the so-called U trees. So these guys are the unitary operators on the model Hilbert space of the form. So its structure group is identity plus trace class operators. Okay. Okay. In addition, assume that on the overlap, you have this relation. So that is E beta and E alpha on the restriction, they differ by L alpha beta action. So then such a system data, the E alpha is said to be a gerb module. Okay. So a gerb module, so then we can introduce the gerb module connection. Gerb module connection. Okay, so it's just a connection. So on each E alpha, it's a type of D plus A E alpha. So so this A E alpha is the one form on U alpha valued in the trace class operators. Okay, because of gerb module property, you can find that. So this guy, the B field plus the curvature on the E alpha, and the B field B beta plus the curvature on E beta, they are actually conjugated to each other. Okay, so this equality actually comes from its gerb module. So then, if you take the exponential of this guy. then it becomes a global form over the manifold. So because it's conjugate on each piece, the different pieces, they conjugate. So if you take exponential, if you take trace, so it's a global form over the manifold. So then this guy is a globally defined differential form over the manifold. So why I want to minus this identity? Because this guy exponential starts from identity. So identity cancel out, then you get a trace class operators, then you get then the thing is traceable. Okay. So and suppose E and E prime are a pair of gerb modules for the gerb. So we can define, so this pair actually gives a co-cycle for the twisted K theory. Okay, so here it's defined in the Euro by the Euro identical relation to define twisted K theory. So we can see that the gerb modules, so they are realization of the geometrization of twisted K theory. Okay, so and similarly we can define twisted chain character. So it's twisted chain character from the twisted K theory to H even. This is the target space of the twisted chain character. So remember that, so if for torsion gerb, so like in a projective vector bundle case, so H equal to zero. So if zero is zero here, then this the twisted cohomology is just the Euler cohomology. So that means if one considers projective vector bundle, if you apply the twisted chain character, so you don't land into a twisted cohomology, you still land into the Euler cohomology. So that is a projective bundle case, vector bundle case. Okay, now give a long torsion gerb and a gerb module pair. So we can analogously define the Witten projective bundle. So we call it Witten gerb modules. Okay. So here, it's very similar to, so given a projective vector bundle, we construct a Witten bundle. Now we are given gerb module pair, we construct a Witten gerb module. So then this construction is a little bit more involved. So to take the chain character of the Witten gerb module, so we have to, so just like the projective Witten bundle case, so we have to take into account of the levels of twists. So remember, so in the construction, then we get all kinds of, all levels of twists. So then we have to take into account of all levels of twists and apply the twist chain character of each level and combine together. So then we take the graded twist chain character. Now we get some difficulties. The difficulties is unlike the projective bundle case, which I find the rank. So the gerb modules, they are actually infinite dimensional. So therefore, we get analytic difficulties to overcome for convergence of a graded twist chain character. So fortunately, we can use the tools from function analysis to deal with these difficulties. The tools we use is the holomorphic functional calculus and the Fred-Hom determinant to make sense out of the graded twisted chain character of the gerb module, Witten gerb module. This is the first thing I want to point out. The difficulties comes from infinite dimensional. The second difficulty comes from, so we see that, so because in this case, H is long zero, unlike the torsion case, H is long zero. So for different twists, like level M twists, so then the graded twisted chain character is a mix of D plus M H closed differential forms of various M. So because H is long zero now, we have to design some tools to distinguish different levels. So this is the way how we do it. To distinguish this D plus MH closed forms for various levels, we introduce a formal variables Y such that if omega is D plus M plus H closed, we write omega times Y to M. You see this guy is to indicate the level. So then the graded twisted chain character of the Witten gerb module now takes the value here, takes the value in this differential, two variable series of differential form. Okay, so this Q is the conformal factor, the Q, and this Y to indicate, to distinguish the different levels. So roughly speaking, so at the first glance, this is very similar to complex elliptic genera. But in complex elliptic genera, this Y is used to distinguish complex structure. Now we use the Y to distinguish the different levels of twistings. Okay, so now suppose M is a manifold with H flux, maybe long torsion. Let me use AKM, D plus M close, to denote the space of holomorphic functions for H, except for a set of isolated points. So which takes the value in differential forms over D plus MH closed differential forms over M. Okay, then we can similarly define cohomology. So this to HKMH denotes the space of holomorphic functions on the upper half plane, except for a set of isolated points, which take values in the HK, the twisted cohomology of level M. Okay, so denote Q, this is Q and this is Y, so the two form variables. Okay, so now Q is in upper half plane, Z is in the complex plane. So on M, let's consider two variable series like this. So these two variables series, so with the following property, so an element here is represented by this. You see this is a series of Y, with each omega m is a Q series. So then this is a two, this is a two variable series. So such that the degree p component of this thing is the expansion of y equal to zero of a Jacobi form of weak p plus k bar over two and index zero over L rest product with gamma. So gamma is a subgroup of SL2Z, L is a integral lattice over C. Okay, we denote all such two variable series with this Jacobi property by this J0MHL gamma. Okay, so we can prove that. So if you take the, so under these two anomaly free condition, so actually this is the Jacobi C1 of the Jacobi module. This is the Jacobi P1 of the Jacobi module. We find that if the Jacobi C1 and the Jacobi P1 vanish, then the graded twisted trajectory of the Witten Jacobi module is actually, roughly speaking, is a Jacobi form. Okay, so this motivates us to enhance the T-duality Hori map to graded Hori map to handle this two variable situation. Okay. So remember, in the original Hori formula, we only deal with the level m equal to 1. Now we consider level m Hori map. We consider all the levels. And we can still define level, so we have similar property of level m Hori map. Then we assemble them together. We define something called graded Hori map. So this is a graded Hori map is from the two series over two variable series over z to the two variable series over z hat. So this is a graded Hori formula. So then passing to cohomology, you get a graded Hori map from the two variable series of cohomology to two variable series of cohomology over z hat. So yeah, so this is a dual site. So this is a graded Hori from the z hat to z. So, and this is a graded Hori from Z to Z hat. Okay, now, so Matai and I prove a theorem. So the theorem is in the T-duality situation. So if you compose the graded Hori, LT composed with the dual Hori, you actually get the Euler operator. Okay, you use Y. If you use Z, it's equal to this. So similarly, if you apply Z, the hat, LT hat, and then L hat, LT, you still get the Euler operator. In particular, this implies that when M is non-zero, so you, the graded Hori map, give you isomorphisms of the two variable series on Z and Z hat. Moreover, we find that if you apply the graded Hori to Jacobi forms on Z, you will land into Jacobi forms on Z hat. If you apply the LT hat on Jacobi forms on Z hat, you land into Jacobi forms on Z. So in this way, actually enhance the T-duality. Actually, when M, if you take M equal to zero and Q equal to zero, so then you return to the original T-duality. Okay, so this is the second application of our construction of the projective epigenome. Okay, thank you so much.
Should open the floor for questions. Well, maybe to get things started, Faye, is there anything you can say about like the denominator? You had a bunch of rational numbers, rational modular forms. Can you say anything about sort of, do you know about denominators of those rational forms, or like are they in cosets or anything?
I guess the denominator relates to the Bernoulli numbers. So, but we didn't study details about it. Yeah.
But it's not like that there's some specific coset of Z that these are all live in.
That rational number also depends on the torsion element.
Davide asks, can you say a few words about physical interpretation of the constructions?
Which construction? The projective Witten bundle or? Yeah. So actually, the Witten bundle. If you start from vector bundle V, you apply the operations. You get a Witten bundle. That thing can be viewed as formally viewed as a vector bundle over loop space. So as the Witten pointed out. So then, if we start from a projective bundle, projective vector bundle or turbo module, if you apply the Witten construction, you get projective Witten bundle and the projective Witten turbo module. We can view them as the projective vector bundle over loop space and the turbo module over loop space.
I get a little bit confused when I see fractions in a trace. But the coefficients of the rational, I find it confusing that the coefficients of the modular forms would be fractions. I would like to understand if there is any physical interpretation left or that kills it.
The rationals, that is rational numbers in the physical interpretation will be the analytic index of certain projective twisted Dirac operators.
Sorry, the...
So I once heard that it's kind of related to quantum fractional Hall effect. So those rational numbers are still quantum numbers, but now are rationals.
I see, okay, this is helping. But these are still modular forms, not vector value modular forms.
Not what?
They are talking about modular forms, not vector value modular forms, right?
Oh, it's just the modular forms, but the Q expansion has rational coefficients.
Yes, so.
Yeah.
They are not traces of some vector space.
In that Q expansion, each coefficient is a rational number, and rational number is kind of certain quantum number, but a fractional quantum number is actually analytic index of projective Dirac operators.
Yeah, but somehow when you say Dirac operators, that's not enough to make it physical. Physical means to the rational quantum field theory.
Yes, sorry.
I thought it would really help if you tell me quantum mechanics interpretation of this.
It's just analytic index. It's just like a trace of E to T minus T D squared. But now this D is a projective bundle, a projective Dirac operator.
Hi, it's Jack. I don't remember this very well, but this T duality relates to the A model, the 2A model, and the 2B model, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the A model is the Gromov-Witten invariance, and the 2B model mm-hmm. are the mm-hmm. Fukaya Lagrangian.
So that is. That is the algebraic geometrical version of T-duality. So this is a topological T-duality. So comparing to the, like in the mirror symmetry, the algebraic geometry, the difference is, so in the algebraic geometry, we still keep the complex structure and the simplex structure of both sides. But now we throw everything. But the algebraic geometry side, they don't have flux. The both sides of flux are zero. But in the topological setting, we forget complex structure and the simplex structure, but we still keep the flux. So it means in a honest physical picture, we have everything. But now in topology, we pick up some information. In algebraic geometry, we pick up some other information.
Well, I don't see any more questions right now. I bet that there will be more as the days go by. Let me remind those of you who are on a time zone for which it works that there will be more discussion on these topics tomorrow at 4 a.m. Toronto time, 4 p.m. in Singapore. I sent an email out that I hope you all received with the Zoom links. If you didn't, you can contact me again. So our next speaker will be Davide at 7 p.m. Toronto time or 7 a.m. tomorrow morning in Singapore. And let's thank Faye again.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. I feel I cannot sleep. So after this talk.